It's 6 o'clock. You're listening to KRFC Fort Collins. Stay tuned for Community at Work. Good evening and welcome to Community at Work, a weekly program here on KRFC that provides a closer look at local organizations that serve you. This half-hour show offers insights into the issues affecting our community and highlights some of the programs and services provided by the local agencies and organizations in town. The Health District is one of three rotating hosts for, actually it's four now. We have the League of Women Voters on board. Four rotating hosts for Community at Work. The Health District is a public agency that provides residents of Northern Larimer County with dental, mental health, preventive health, and advanced care planning services, in addition to connecting people to more affordable health insurance and prescription options. And we host Community at Work on the first and third Thursday of every month. I am Richard Cox, Communications Director for the Health District. And I mentioned earlier that the Health District provides mental health services, and that's what we're going to be talking about today. We have on as our guest this evening Lynn Wilder. Lynn Wilder, she is Director of Community Impact at the Health District, and Brian Ferrance, he is Behavioral Health Strategy and Implementation Manager on the Community Impact team there at the Health District. So I would like to welcome both of you to Community at Work.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So both of you were involved with a pretty big deal recently. Actually, a couple of pretty big deals. You had a very renowned mental health and addiction speaker here in town just a week or two ago. But you also were both involved with the release of a pretty significant report for a community that talks about the needs in our community that are not being filled as pertaining to mental health and substance use services. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you bet. So the report that was released in April of this year is the result of a study that looked at what mental health and substance use treatment and support services a community like ours should have, and then looked at what we actually do have and identified gaps in those services. And we also looked at how much and what levels of services we would need to develop or expand in order to fill those gaps, and what it would really take to do that, the cost and revenues related to it.
And so in order to know what you've got, how much you have, how much you need, you got to know what that need is, how many people out there who could access these services or might be trying to access them. So how common are mental health and substance use concerns in Larimer County?
Yeah, so we've looked at, you know, the national and state prevalence data here, and when we applied it to our local community here in Larimer County, we found that it's about 1 in 5 Larimer County residents struggle with mental illness, which is about 54,000. And when you look at addiction, it's about 1 in 10, which is about 26,000. And many of those individuals struggle with both mental illness and addiction. And we've looked at this. We, when you put, you know, 60,000 plus individuals that are affected by mental illness and addiction in our community, you know, that fills every seat in the new CSU football stadium and the field combined.
Wow.
And so it's a big problem here. And that, you know, that was a big drive for this study and to find these gaps and find some solutions.
So what were the overall conclusions?
Yeah, so the report really found that while we have a lot of really quality services here in Larimer County, we don't currently have the range of services and facilities that really should be available to meet the needs of these residents that Brian was just talking about. So just to give you an example of a couple of those, specifically, we've got a couple levels of care that we just don't have at all. We don't have non-hospital level withdrawal management, or what people often call detox.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helps people safely get a substance out of their system and often acts as a first step towards treatment. So it's really an important service. And right now we are relying on Weld County's detox for that. And we also don't have local residential treatment options for addiction that would really, enable them to stay in their community and get a more intensive level of treatment to help them in their recovery. And then there are other services in the community that we would need to expand. So examples of that would be services to help youth and families really get help before a crisis, to do that early identification, early intervention, get help early. And another example would be suicide prevention services,
yeah,
like helping people,
essential.
Yeah, really be able to recognize signs of suicide and intervene. So those are just a couple examples.
Well, Brian mentioned the sheer numbers of people in our community who might need to access these services at some point, and it really is staggering. How many people are unable to get the services they need? You know, what is that need in the community?
Yeah, so when we looked at it, we found that really only about 9 to 10% of individuals diagnosed with a substance use disorder are actually getting treatment in our community. So that's about 2,300 out of the 26,000 that have a substance use disorder, and so, you know, we know that that's not acceptable. There's evidence-based treatments available that we know work, but we don't have them available in our community. And if that was any other chronic health disease or physical health disease, we would not accept that treatment rate. But that's what we have with substance use disorders, is 9 to 10% actually getting treatment for those. And the study found that by expanding those mental health and addiction treatment services and bringing some new levels of care and expanding those existing services, like Lynn mentioned, then we would be able to serve more than double that number, or over 5,000 individuals, if not more, over time with sustainable funding.
Mm, that's great. And I'd like to kind of look at the upside and the downside of what happens when people get treatment or don't get treatment. And what's the impact of the community, both on the individual level and all the way up to the community level, when folks don't get treatment and support in a timely fashion, adequate treatment in a timely fashion?
There's a lot of impacts, and to build on what Brian said about other chronic diseases, I just want you to imagine for a moment what it would be like if we didn't have some of the key services for people with other chronic diseases. So what if we didn't have chemotherapy available for people with cancer, or if we didn't have rehabilitation services to help people recover from injuries, things like that. So the impact of not having treatment for these diseases is similar to those. You have continued human suffering from symptoms. You have impacts on people's ability to function in their lives. You have impacts then on people's families, their jobs, school, and really there's echoes then throughout the community. So
everyone knows somebody.
Absolutely.
That's been affected.
Absolutely. I think that's true. They're not isolated. They impact, and the fact that they are not getting treatment for these diseases are impacting people around them. And it can also result in suicide and other causes of death as well. So the other thing is, when people don't get the right level of care at the right time, they often end up using other more expensive levels of care. So they might end up at the emergency department, as opposed to actually getting good outpatient treatment, or they might end up in the criminal justice system because of their ability to function. So
it ends up costing everybody more.
Absolutely.
And if people do get treatment, adequate treatment in a timely fashion?
Well, one of the things we know is that treatment for mental illness and for substance use disorders or addiction works. It works as well as, and maybe even a little bit better than, treatment for other chronic diseases like diabetes or heart disease. And it works, and when people are able to regain their ability to function, then we're looking at businesses are benefiting from increased productivity, or increased, present people are being at their jobs, for instance.
Right. No absenteeism.
Right, right. So I think, there's so many different ways people's health in general improves, because you can't separate mental health from physical health. It's all mm-hmm. part of the person. And so people's health improves, and the community benefits.
All right. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Community at Work show here on KRFC Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District of Northern Larimer County, and we have a couple of guests on this evening who are talking about mental health and substance use concerns in our community and availability or lack thereof of key services and sort of a I hate to use the word bombshell, but it's a pretty sobering report about the needs in this community and the lack of services that need to be addressed. We have Lynn Wilder. She's a director of the community impact team at the Health District, and Brian Ferrans, who's the behavioral health strategy and implementation manager. It sounds like you're the one that's going to kind of make all this work when we get to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a team effort. That's why it's a community impact team.
Yeah, it is a whole team. It's going to take a lot of people to make this happen. But yeah, Brian will be very involved.
Well, and speaking of teams, I'd like to back up just a little bit. The report was actually issued under the auspices or sponsored by the Mental Health and Substance Use Alliance of Larimer County.
Right.
There's probably a lot of people out there listening who don't know what that is, yet the Alliance has done some pretty amazing work in the last decade. Could you fill us in a little bit about what the Alliance is?
You bet. The Mental Health and Substance Use Alliance of Larimer County, or I'll just call it the MHSU Alliance because that's a mouthful. But
yeah.
It's a group of over 20 organizations and mostly leaders from these organizations as well as a number of consumers and family members that are really working together to make improvements in our system of care for mental health and substance use disorders. And they've been around since 1999. The Alliance's work has been responsible for the development of a number of new programs and services in the community, as well as reports like this one that then are used to guide planning and improvement of services.
So you're really moving the community forward.
That's our intent.
Great. And I've looked at this report. It's pretty deep. It's got a lot of numbers. It's a very thorough technical report, so I assume you got some assistance on that.
Yeah, we did. We engaged a national consulting firm called Niatex Group to help us analyze the data and create appropriate recommendations for the services that were really based on science, evidence, and kind of the national perspective on what works and what is cutting edge out there, really, because we want to bring that to our community. We also worked really closely with a subgroup of the MHSU Alliance, including leaders from some Stone Health Partners, UC Health or PVH Hospital, and Larimer County, among others. And so this has really been both a community effort as well as, you know, making sure that we are looking at the national perspective.
Mm-hmm. So according to the report, there's an inadequate capacity to provide care to everyone who needs it or seeks it. And there's some actual gaps in services. Why do you think these services are lacking?
So there's a lot of reasons for why these services aren't available. I think the overarching largest one is stigma, and we're actually starting to reframe that and call that discrimination. You know, when you have people suffering and people that are sick and you have treatments that work and you're failing to provide those treatments or that level of care, then it's hard to say that wouldn't be discrimination. So, but stigma, you know, especially with addiction, you know, people seeing it as a moral failing or, you know, weak individuals and blaming them for their disease, that, you know, attributes to a lack of community support overall for these types of services and lowers the priority level for addressing those issues. The other thing is a lack of funding and, you know, we have the mental health parity law, but a lot of issues in terms of insurance not covering the care that is needed to treat mental health and addiction. And so there's not federal funding for certain types of care. There's not, you know, Medicaid doesn't cover residential treatment for addiction. It doesn't cover medically monitored withdrawal management or detox. And so when you have a lack of funding, then it makes it hard for one, for individuals to get care because they can't afford it. And two, it makes it hard for providers to be able to provide those levels of care when they can't get paid for it. And so then you have a lack of providers in the community as well.
Mm. Do you think Larimer County's experience is unique, or do other communities struggle to provide adequate levels of care in this area?
You know, I think that gaps exist in mental health and addiction treatment in many communities and across the United States as well as the state of Colorado because of exactly what Brian just said. There simply aren't payment sources for certain types and levels of these treatment services. In fact, we found when we costed out the cost for running the recommended services that are being recommended in this report, only about 30% of those annual operating costs would be covered by some sort of insurance or funding source. And so that's where there's a big gap the ability to provide those services. So every community is a little bit different. And so what we've done is to try to study and outline the specific and individualized needs of Larimer County and then put forth the recommendations of what it would take to bring to those services to our community. So our needs are a little different, but I think this is a common problem.
Mm. I think you might have already answered this question earlier, but, does mental health and substance use and that I'll use that interchangeably, substance use mm-hmm. disorder and addiction, they are one and the same mm-hmm. thing. It is a medical condition. They get treated differently. They're sort of like a stepchild in the healthcare system. We have a great new cancer center here in town that we're all proud of, and most communities would be proud of that, or a heart center. It's not the same way with mental health and substance use.
Yeah, absolutely, and parity or lack thereof is a great example of that. The Mental Health Parity Act requires insurance to cover behavioral health conditions and treatment equally to physical health. We see that across the country, that even though that law is there, that's not necessarily happening. If my insurance covers unlimited physical therapy, after a knee surgery so that I can rehab, but then they'll only cover 10 mental health sessions for my depression, that's a real problem. Mm-hmm. You're essentially putting a time clock on my treatment for my depression.
There would be outrage.
Right.
Any other.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
The other piece of that, you mentioned the national addictions expert that we brought to town, Dr. Corey Waller, a couple of weeks ago. And, one of the things he was talking about is there are medications that will that really can stabilize somebody who has an addictive disorder very quickly and return them to a very normal level of functioning. They deal with the craving. Because people are thinking of them as moral issues, or you should pull yourself up by your bootstraps and just stop, there's that stigma against using medication because, you're just replacing one drug with another. And it's actually really just dealing with the dopamine in the brain, right? So, and being able to replace that. The fact that we aren't using medications in the way that we should, we're starting to, but for addiction, we really need to be doing that a lot more. So that's just an example of where the services exist, we're not using them.
Hmm. Well, the report quantified the need, mm-hmm. but it also laid out some recommendations. Can you go over what some of those recommendations are?
Yeah.
What do we need in this community to be better at helping our fellow citizens?
Mm-hmm. I can go over them, briefly, and certainly would recommend that people look at the report and our summaries because there's a lot of recommendations. Be hard to talk about in the time that we have. But really, in a nutshell, what the recommendations are is that there are certain levels of service that we need to expand in the community. I mentioned a couple of them: community services for youth and family, suicide prevention services. There's a lot of need for a lot more help with people coordinating their care and navigating very complex systems of care. And there are people, for instance, that really need those levels of support. For instance, people that are living in permanent supportive housing. We need more permanent supportive housing, but what we also need is support services to help them be successful in housing and in their lives. So those are some examples. In the community, also, people need help financially with affording some of these services because their insurances are not paying for all of it. They have high copays or deductibles. So those are some of the community services that we would envision having funding for. And then there are a number of services like the withdrawal management or detox, the residential treatment, really good levels of assessment so that we know what services people need, and a number of other services that would really make sense to do in a facility together. And as a matter of fact, we're recommending that we would bring our existing crisis services that are run through Summit Stone into that facility as well. So taking some existing services and adding new services so that it's really efficient for people to be able to come in and get what they need and then also be able to have that support in then moving from those really high-intensity services in that 24/7 service center out into the other services in the community as part of their recovery. So that is one of the recommendations would be to develop that 24/7 services center. Just like you mentioned, cancer center or heart center, we mm-hmm. need a center for that type of services as well. So those are some of the recommendations.
And that's really one of the great things about this study and the way that, you know, this guidance team and the Mental Health Substance Use Alliance came together to put these recommendations together is, you know, they looked at the full spectrum of care from prevention to early intervention to treatment and recovery. So it really covers the whole spectrum of care for mental health and addiction and not just, you know, on one piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Community at Work show here on KRFC Fort Collins. I'm Richard Cox from the Health District of Northern Larimer County, and we're talking tonight about mental health and addiction. We have Lynn Wilder. She's the director of the Community Impact Team at the Health District, and Brian Franz, who is Behavioral Health Strategy and Implementation Manager. And they're both pretty excited because they've been overseeing, along with their team at the health district and throughout the community, the release of a new report that sort of takes a 30,000-foot look at our community and what services are out there to serve people who need more intensive mental health services or need help dealing with an addiction, and sets out some recommendations. We keep referencing this report. It is available for folks to read, both in the long form, which is pretty long, but also there's an executive summary, right? And an even simpler
graphic summary.
Yeah, with lots of pictures and pretty colors, and it boils down the essential points.
Right.
And those can be found on the Health District website, I believe, right?
Right.
And if anybody has questions about this, can they contact
Absolutely. Yeah, Brian or myself, they can contact us at 970-224-5209.
Great. So so what I hear you describing is really it's a continuum. It's a network. It's not you treat the person and then let them go. There's really kind of you assess the problem, you provide the treatment, and then you provide the support. And I imagine without that continued support, the chances of the treatment being as successful are diminished, right?
I mean, yeah,
just
yeah.
like with any, you know, you go and you get treated for a heart condition or something. If you don't do the follow-up work after that, you're not helping yourself. Is that the same situation?
Absolutely, because these are, you know, what a lot of people understand is these are chronic diseases, right? They're just chronic diseases of the brain. You know, you can't just say, and I think this is why people think treatment doesn't work, for instance, especially for addiction, is, well, he went in for 30 days of residential treatment and he came out and relapsed. Well, relapse is part of the process of recovery.
And he's a failure, therefore.
And, right, he's a failure, therefore,
yeah.
right,
as opposed to. Let's give up on him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And you know, we're setting him up for failure by not using the treatments that we know work, by not using medication, or here's another example. If you don't have the full continuum of services in the community, then what happens is you put people in sort of what you have, and that might not be exactly what they need. And that sets them up for failure.
Mm. Yeah, for, you know, other chronic diseases, you know, if I were to get diagnosed with diabetes, there's going to be, you know, the treatment plan is going to be laid out for me in terms of what is needed and what I'm going to go through and which level of care I'm going to progress through. And we just don't have that with mental health and addiction care. It's highly dependent on where you go and what community you're in and what providers, what they can bill for. And so if I need a higher and more intensive level to meet my, where my disease is at, and that's not available, then I get treatment that is at a lower level of care that I need. And then when that doesn't work for me, then I'm seen as failing or, not committed to my treatment. Mm-hmm. We would not see that with somebody that goes in and gets diagnosed with diabetes. And we would not have this fail first mentality of, I think you need insulin, but I'm not going to prescribe insulin now. I'm going to have you just make some lifestyle changes and, really be motivated and let's try that. And then and when that doesn't work, come back in and sort of get shamed, that I wasn't motivated enough. And then the doctor says, okay, well, we'll prescribe insulin now. But I only want to keep you on it for, a month or two because I don't want you to depend on it too much. That's just not the type of care that we would see in any other chronic disease, but that's sort of what you get with addiction.
That's right.
Yeah, and we also hear that people sometimes feel like they're kind of on their own. They don't know where to start. They don't know where to turn.
Yeah.
And I'll say that connections is for mental health and substance use is one place to start.
Right.
That's I'll get the 221-5551.
Yeah, and they can
be resource to.
Yeah, they can help find the resources. Help people do some assessment and screening to figure out what's next and help people get connected to care.
So we got this report. We have these recommendations. What's the next step?
Well, we're really trying to get this information out to as many community members as possible. So we really want to help people understand what the gaps are in our community and then what the positive impact would be on our community if we were to implement those recommendations and bring that treatment here or expand that treatment. And so a previous version of this report was used for a ballot initiative in 2016 for funding these types of services that did not pass. And so since then, the county's done a lot of work to understand why. And then we've done a lot of work to engage new stakeholders, gather more data and information, and really understand what our systems need and what the utilization needs are so that we can put out the best possible information and say this is what our community needs. And so we're really, focused on anybody that wants to hear more about this, contact us and we'll come to a presentation. We'll give you some collateral materials. It's really about education at this point.
Right. And as we mentioned earlier, that report and some very easy to digest summaries are available on the Health District website. That's healthdistrict.org, and people can always call you guys at
Absolutely.
The Health District. And that's 970-224-5209. Gosh, I want to thank both of you for coming on this
Thanks
evening.
For having us.
It's
thank
a
you.
Really big subject, a very important subject, and I feel like we're just starting to get people's attention and that maybe we're at a turning point in the community. And,
I think we are.
And you and your team and all the folks in the community at the Alliance who are participating in this are moving things along and are responsible for that. So thank you, Lynn Wilder and Brian Franz from the Community Impact Team at the Health District. And that's about all the time we have for tonight. Please tune in next week when Denny LaRue will be here hosting Community at Work and talking about some of the issues and services and organizations here in Larimer County. And Julie Estlick from the Health District will be back here hosting in 2 weeks. Coming up next on KRFC is Critter Patter. Thanks for listening and keep the health. Thank you.